This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
And when you said think big, I think that's where the Bears need to go. I think they need to draft somebody on Thursday night that weighs over 280 pounds.
You got it, Lawrence? He doesn't care what position. He's not interested in what position. Any 281-pound running backs out there? I mean, because maybe that's what Dustin wants. 285 wide receiver. Very slow. But it fits Dustin's criteria, so let's go. What about an edge rusher at 279? Nope.
So he wouldn't want Aiden Hutchinson, who weighs 264 pounds.
Not interested. Abdul Carter, get away from my team. Hell no.
He just wants to play big boy football.
Hey, man, I just realized this is my moment. I could make the Bears. I could make the Bears right now.
What was your three-cone drill time?
Boy, yeah. I think they'll take that into account. That's tough. Did Dustin say anything about the three-cone drill? I need somebody who got over 15 seconds in the three-cone drill.
So it's three ice cream cones.
Oh, I nailed that one.
Are we going with you playing
my college tape?
Center, or are we going with you playing defensive tackle?
I think it's wide open. It could be anything. Well, no, center. I mean, now that Drew Dahlman's here.
Well, I figured we would be getting you on the Bears in a backup role. I wasn't expecting you to start.
They just re-signed Doug Kramer, though.
You've got a radio show to do, so you can't start.
Hey, guys, I can't make practice. I'm not going to be able to make it.
You're already doing hit and run. We'd want to put rookie center responsibilities on your plate at this
Thank
point.
You. So, and yeah. The PBP. Thank you. Two episodes a week of the PBP.
Oh, Doug Gottlieb over here.
I'm going to be part of the team and do media at the same time.
It did not turn out well.
No, it really didn't. Plus, I'll get media tiffs. Olin Krutz will be out there, you know, dissecting my performance. Spiegel cannot play. Here's the thing about Spiegel. He cannot play the position. You know, so like.
Be careful if I were you.
Yeah, I know. I was doing it pretty well the other day. But then I read right. No.
I don't think so.
No. It didn't feel like he was in the room, Tanny. So
Olin's always in the room.
He is. All right. So do you have somebody over 280 that you'd like the Bears to draft? It's draft week. Time for ridiculous proclamations.
Kelvin Banks Jr. is over 280 pounds. So you could make that choice.
There you go.
You could do that. Make him your left tackle.
Most of the conventional wisdom says that the Bears ought to stay right there and just pick somebody. Matt Miller said that to the other day. Just stay right there. I think others have said it. We'll talk to Jason Leisure tomorrow. I think Dan Wiederer tomorrow. I'll get all these opinions. Like, you know, trading down and or maybe trading up, all the crazy stuff that's out there. Most people think. I saw Adam Schefter reference that. If the Bears just stay right there, they're going to have a good chance to get somebody excellent.
So why don't we go back to last week? Because I think part of the reason that this is – a good strategy, Spiegs, is because of what Matt Miller told us about quarterback evaluations. And you know how weird it is where you watch all of college football and you go, hey, that guy's pretty good. I bet he'll be drafted. And then all of a sudden, there's a guy that you've never heard of or didn't think was a first round prospect for sure. Like the 28-year-old Shuck guy that quarterbacks Louisville. And yet here he is now, and Jalen Milroe is kind of magically in the first round.
Oh, yeah.
When a lot of people thought that he'd be in the second round, and Shadur was going to be the number 2 pick, and now he might be the number 9 pick, or he might be the number 21 pick, mm-hmm. or he might not go to the second round. Mm-hmm. We asked Matt Miller about why stuff like that happens.
So you're out car shopping, and you think you know what car you want, and then you're driving, and you see all these other cars, and you're like, wait, maybe I want a Jeep. Or maybe I want a truck instead, or maybe I want a sports car. NFL teams are doing the same thing with these quarterbacks right now. When you don't love the option, other options are going to catch your eye. And that is what has happened since February. Teams did not fall in love with Shadur Sanders at the East-West Shrine Game. They did not fall in love with him at the NFL Combine. And guess what happened at the Senior Bowl? Oh, Jackson Dart. And then here comes Tyler Shuck. And then at the Combine, it was, well, here comes Jalen Milroe. And maybe here comes Will Howard. And let's not forget about Quinn Ewers. So I think what has happened, guys, is that those teams don't love the option. So they're saying, let's be really thorough and look behind every door and make sure there's not something over here that we like a little bit better than the option that we were presented as, you know, this great, you know, he was supposed to be the number 2 overall pick when we were at the Combine. That was 2 months ago. And you're right. Now, you know, there's definitely a conversation of will he go 9? Will he go 21? Will he go 26? I mean, it is a massive range for where he could be selected.
Is that different than most years? It feels like every year there's some quarterback that gets talked up into the top 5. I guess we're not seeing that, but we're seeing a couple talked up maybe into the top 15 or top 20.
I mean, it's every year. You know, it's Malik Willis. It's Matt Corral. It's, you know, it does feel like Desmond Ridder every year. Last year didn't happen because 6 went in the top 12. So there wasn't that opportunity. I think Bo Nix was the guy that got talked up, but he actually went. So this is a little bit different. I do still think he'll be a first-round pick, and I think he deserves to be a first-round pick. I really do. I mean, his toughness, his accuracy, his field vision, he has tools separate from his name that I think are first-round caliber, and I think we'll ultimately see that play out. But the idea that he was a shoe-in to go 2 or 3, I think that was rooted more in expectation than in reality.
So let me just follow up on the Tyler Shuck thing, because it's fascinating. Tyler Shuck grew up in Arizona, in Chandler, Arizona, not far from Gilbert, Arizona, where Brock Purdy grew up. They're the same age. And there's a picture floating around of the two of them on prom night in their tuxedos looking great as they're hanging out at prom. They're the same age.
And Tyler Shuck is in this draft.
And Brock Purdy is on the precipice of getting $250 million or above.
Who was the Florida State quarterback? Was it Chris Weedy?
Chris Winkie.
Chris Winkie. That's what it is. Chris Winkie.
He was 28 when he got into the league.
Yeah, he was 28 when he got
And he played.
Yeah, he did. Not great, but he played.
Look, Speaks, there's a picture. Dane Brugler actually found it.
Tyler Shuck and Brock
There's
Purdy.
Tyler Shuck and there's Brock Purdy.
Unbelievable. They make a lovely couple, though, I will say that.
Both good-looking guys, and yeah. Their tuxedos are great. Like, those seem like not just off-the-rack tuxedos. Those seem like those young men's family paid a little bit of coinage to get them tailored up right.
You think so? Really?
Those look good, man. Mm. Those are strong.
Well, maybe they had that kind of money. I don't know. I was at the tuxedo rental place just hoping that they had stuff in stock for me. But that's because I wasn't draftable the way that I am now under Dustin Rhodes's parameter.
What did you do prom? Like, what was the did you go seriously? Like, I went very seriously, as you could probably imagine.
No way, you?
I went very seriously, but you know, I had a little bit of flair with tie and cummerbund. Like my brother, he went like all out. Like he did like it was like a white tuxedo, pink cummerbund and tie. Mm-hmm. He had the I'm gonna get you sucker thing going on. Mine was a little bit more laid back. I did.
Yeah,
have,
I was pretty basic. I think I went. I didn't go tails, But I went with like wacky color. I think I went red tie and cummerbund. It's just mildly wacky.
Tanny, you seem almost too cool to have gone to prom.
Oh,
did you go
no.
to prom?
I bet he had lots of flair.
I did. It's real cringy. I think I went black suit, black shirt, and like dark gray tie.
Let's go!
Yes, yeah.
Shane, did you go to prom? Shane?
I love you. If you can hear.
Can't hear us? Did you go to prom?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
What was your outfit at prom?
Black tux.
Straight up.
Just black and white?
Yep,
no colors?
Black tux.
No cummerbund? No, none of that?
Nope. Black tux.
All right. Here's Blanco. Yeah. I had the high top fade going back then, too. I'll bring in a picture.
Oh, I'd like to see it.
Yeah.
So you were kid or play? At that point.
I mean, closer to kid. It never got that high, but definitely closer to kid.
Brandon Whedon, people
That's right.
remind us of the aged quarterback who still gets draftable. So back to Matt Miller saying that like there's always one that climbs up there. What's your dream for this? That there's a big pile of quarterbacks that
yes.
somehow go before?
Yes. I hope that there are teams that are willing to move to go up, and I want the quarterbacks to go. I want three or four of them to go.
So, I mean, look, it does happen a lot. And usually by now, you've got more smoke about quarterbacks getting up there in that, even in the top five or higher. You know, like, is there a chance that Jackson Dart becomes a guy who
yes.
skyrockets into the top 10 because somebody gets excited and quarterback matters?
Because New Orleans is like, we would love to have Jackson Dart be our quarterback instead of Spencer Rattler.
My nephew, who's a hardcore New Orleans Saints fan, is dreaming of Jalen Milroe. He's all about Jalen Milroe.
That's another thing that could be done.
That's another thing that guy could climb up there.
I think would be crazy. I love Jalen Milroe. It'd be great for Jalen Milroe, and I want him to be happy and make a lot of money. If I were a team, I would want to draft him real early in the second round.
Well, that's often what happens. Will Levis, I was looking at it. Will Levis was a guy like, man, everybody's talking about Will Levis. Oh, because he ran that offense. It was Kentucky, right? He ran that offense and
tough
the arms
dude.
There. Tough dude. All of it's there. So he went number 33 overall. So he went basically top of the second. Sometimes guys will go there. Sometimes people will trade into the first round and grab that extra year of control and take somebody at the bottom like the Packers did. You know, with Jordan Love.
And while the Ravens, I don't think, traded to do it, they took their pick and took Lamar late. He was pick number 32, right?
I thought Lamar was high second as well.
Mm-mm. First round.
He was? He was late first?
Yeah.
So they traded in and did that thing.
I don't think they traded in, but I have to go back and look. But yeah,
maybe they didn't. But either
draft.
Way, so sometimes guys, you know, some of these guys get talked about and we hear about them because they're quarterbacks and they don't end up going towards the top of the first. But let's say that dream happens. That the three.
Yeah, Lamar was picked number 32.
32.
You want to know the players to pick ahead?
Sure.
Okay.
So Lamar 32, that's dead last in the first.
So there's some Bears stuff in here. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll go with pick number 20 and all the way down to 32.
Okay.
Frank Ragnow.
Wow. That's a really good center.
Billy Price.
So Ragnow, a center went at 20, huh? Wow.
Billy Price, another center, went at 21. Rashawn Evans, the running back out of Bama, roll tie.
Uh-oh.
Isaiah Wynn. DJ Moore at 24. Hayden Hurst, Calvin Ridley, roll tide.
High tide.
Rashad Penny.
Wow.
Terrell Edmonds, Taven Bryan.
That's Tremaine Edmonds' little brother, Terrell.
Correct. Mike Hughes, and here's a name from the past. Sony Michel.
Oh, the running back from Georgia. I thought he was going to be great.
A lot of people did.
Went to the Patriots.
He went to the Patriots at pick 31, and then Lamar Jackson at pick number 32.
Damn, there's some interesting names in there. There's some wide receivers that did not pan out. There's one that did. There's some running backs that did not. I mean, Rashad Penny had his moments
in
Seattle.
Yeah, he's been a fine player. He's a fine player. That draft was a really interesting one.
Man.
Saquon Barkley, Sam Darnold, Denzel Ward. I thought Denzel Ward was going to be the truth. Bradley Chubb, Quentin Nelson, Josh Allen, Roquan, McGlinchey, Josh Rosen, who I think is in law school now. I think he's either getting an MBA or he's in law school now. Minka Fitzpatrick, Vita Vea. Let's go.
Yeah.
And then Marcus Davenport at 14.
So the question is, if three quarterbacks do hop up there, who might fall? Like Abdul Carter's not going to fall. It's not going to happen. People think, I don't think Genty's going to fall. People don't think he's going to get past the Raiders. Can Mason Graham fall? Is there a chance that Mason Graham falls? I run to the podium and take Mason Graham.
Mason Graham to me is a perfect example of, I know what I saw on tape. And then when we got to the draft part of it,
the combine part,
it felt like people stopped liking him. And now it's like, oh, they're back to liking him. It's very weird. Like coming out, I'm like, man, if the Bears are in a position to draft him, they should draft him. And then it was like, well, he wasn't as big, he wasn't as fast.
Yeah, trust the tape. Trust the tape. Where did Aaron Donald go? 13.
Right after the Bears.
13. In that draft went right after the Bears.
I think the Bears were 12, or was it right before? It was either right before or right after the Bears.
Right before, I believe.
So the Bears went right after Aaron Donald went and took Kyle Fuller.
Good player.
Very good player.
Made a Pro Bowl as a Bear, right?
Yeah, yeah, he did. And I remember that Phil Emery really loved Kyle Fuller. He saw him in the Georgia Tech game. Remember, he like saw him being aggressive essentially as a nickel in the Georgia Tech game. And that's where he fell in love.
Two-time Pro Bowler.
Odell Beckham Jr. went 12 to the Giants, then Aaron Donald 13 to the Rams.
That's pretty good. That's actually 12. That 12, 13, 14 is really good.
That is.
Because you have two Pro Bowls out of Kyle Fuller and one All Pro from him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty good.
Ryan Shazier 15, Zach Martin 15, CJ Mosley 17. It's a pretty good run there, about a 4 or 5. So it's interesting. I mentioned that a lot of people want to just, you know, have the Bears hang on. This is the guy from Our Lads who was on this morning with Mully and Haw. This is David Syverston, who believes that someone will fall to the Bears if they just stay put where they are.
The goal of the Bears heading into this offseason was to fill the holes so that they can go into this draft with the mindset of, hey, we can go play a game tomorrow with a full bore starting lineup. Mission accomplished. Because the holes on the offensive line, the defensive line, they've been plugged. They can truly go into this draft class and say, hey, let's get truly the best player available. Yes, we all know that's a line that everyone uses this time of year. We also know that it's garbage in most cases. Teams draft for need. Right now, I'm looking at the Bears depth chart on Our Lads, and we have orange for every free agent signing they've had. And we have six starters added to this team via free agency. And now this opens the door to going into draft weekend. I'm telling you guys this right now, somebody really good is going to fall into their lap at 10, and they don't need to think twice about taking him. You go the Ravens route here and just take him, bring him to your team, even if you don't see a week one starting lineup usage for him. Get the best player. That's how you build a sustainable winner.
Interesting. Even if you don't see the week one starting lineup usage, that's going to be an interesting one to wrap our heads around. If that is indeed the case, that implies the potential of middle of the offensive line,
yeah,
or middle of the defensive line,
or left tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, theoretically,
it's not like he's got to play right away necessarily.
You could say, all right, we are going to make this move to bring in a left tackle. We are happy with Braxton Jones, but we want to protect ourselves in case we want to allocate dollars in a different way. And with him being in that last year, you're getting another bite at the apple. Like I said, we talk about this mostly when it comes to quarterbacks. But if you look at where he's at on his contract clock, it might be time to draft a tackle just because.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you believe in Karan Amagaji.
Yeah.
And maybe they do. We don't know.
But that's what Daniel Jeremiah was saying, is that you're not going to be up here again. If things go the way that you're hoping they go, you're not going to be up here in a spot to take somebody this good. So maybe that does mean the left tackle. It's exciting to have it open wide as much as it is. And I think the acquisitions in the middle of the line fortifying that have really opened things up. And the middle of the defensive line, because it's not like they're not starved for a D tackle like they would have been without Grady Jarrett being here. So
they're not starved in a lot of positions. That to me is why this is fun. Like, this is going to be a fun thing on Thursday with them at the 10th pick. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Ishbias. Both of them or all of them or them.
We'll hear from one of them, and you can see whether it might translate to the other one.
All right.
Let's discuss.
I'm game. It's next on The Score.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I don't know Matt Ishbia, the owner for the Phoenix Suns. Matt Ishbia needs to understand that right now you are on the verge of being recognized as the worst owner in the history of basketball. That's saying a lot. That's saying a lot. Donald Sterling once owned an NBA franchise.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
I didn't realize that Donald Sterling was referenced in the original.
Yeah, that's why.
From Stephen A.
That's why Matt Ishbia was so upset, because he feels like that's an unjust characterization and comp. And it probably is.
Oh, yes, it is. I mean, just in terms of length of time as well. Like, and just the volume of terrible things that Sterling did.
Right. I don't think that that's, at least according to Stephen A's backtracking on this, I don't think that's what he meant, but it came across that way.
I'm Mr. Sterling's right-hand arm.
It'll never not be funny.
His right-hand arm, man.
It'll never not be funny. And I swear. They were here. They were.
Who was here?
All for One. They were in the performance studio a few months ago, too.
Oh, man, I didn't know that. I would have been right there.
They did, I swear.
Of course.
Because what else are they going to do?
How many times did they do it?
Eight times.
That's a set right there.
And it worked out.
Got to start with it and finish with it at a minimum.
So why don't we hear what Stephen A. Smith said to then try and fix what he had said?
Well, let's hear Matt. I think we should hear Matt first, because let's go chronological here.
Okay.
Because there's the Stephen A. right there with the Sterling thing. And then Matt Ishbia in the midst of, you know, an end of season press conference when he's talking about a massive failure. Because he's been bad at putting together a winner.
And a failure that's going to probably continue to be a failure, because you got to pay Bradley Beal $57 million next year.
So look, the Beal trade is a disaster. Their version of the idea of just put three stars together and see if they can figure it out has been a complete and utter disaster.
Put three stars together and then have no money to put a bench out there and the rest of the starting five.
Right, and some franchises have done that kind of thing and just hoped they'd be attractive enough to like grab the right role players and or smart enough. You know, complete horrific failure from a competitive perspective. Without a doubt, wasting the prime of Devin Booker, wasting the dotage of Kevin Durant on some level here. So all of that is absolutely worth hammering him about. But interesting, when Matt Ishbia was asked about Stephen A's aspersions, how he framed it makes me want to talk about it with you.
Okay.
And so let's listen to Matt Ishbia.
Matt, Shane Gillen with Forbes. Sure, you over the last couple of days probably saw a national reporter make some, you know, ridiculous statements about you might be being the worst team owner or worst owner in professional sports history. Just kind of wondering what your response is, if you have
one. Yeah, so Stephen A. Smith, you know, I don't take much he says seriously, you know. I don't think many people do, to be honest with you. You know, the things he said about Kevin Durant, just wrong and disrespectful. The things he said about LeBron James were just disrespectful and inappropriate. And so with that being said, I don't really think Stephen A. believes that, what he said. I think, you know, he's doing his thing. He's on the mic and he's doing what he does. And I think he'll apologize to me because I think it's disrespectful to put my name in aligned with anybody that was kicked out of the league or no longer part. Like, yeah, if he wants to say for the first 2.5 years managed to be bought the team, we didn't win a championship, I think you probably say about almost every owner ever. But yeah, we had high expectations and we didn't win. We spent a lot of money and we didn't win. Yep. Be critical of me on that. But to even say that kind of stuff, like I said, that's just, I think, like I said, he'll apologize. I think he's out of line. I think he knows that. I don't think he really believes that. With that being said, like, what is a great owner? Right, like my job, like I'm definitely not shooting. You don't want to see me shoot or play or coach. Like, what am I supposed to do? And my job is to provide resources so that when my GM, my front office, my coach want something, want a player, like that, I say yes. I don't focus on profitability. I focus on winning. I focus on the community. I focus on the fan experience. And so I focus on those things. I think that's what makes a great owner. You know, I think if you ask people in Phoenix, they probably think I'm a great owner. You know, the TV, all the games on TV for free, like that's a big profitability hit, but we led with that. I walked the concourse and realized the concession stand prices are crazy and we lower the prices. Like, that's what I think a great owner would do. Investing in the Mercury, you know, $100 million practice facility, like, that's kind of what I think a great owner would do. You know, community, we brought the WNBA All-Star Game, we're bringing the NBA All-Star Game, we put millions of dollars into the community doing a lot of things. Like, I think that's my role. Now, let's be clear, winning is part of my job too. Right. But, you know, there's a lot of things a great owner would do. And to even put me in that category, I thought was disrespectful. And like I said, you know, we'll just move on from that. I don't really spend much time thinking about him.
I thought he absolutely hammered that.
I think that's pretty well done.
Right. I mean, it's like pointing out, because he's right, a lot of teams struggling with where to put the teams on TV and how to make some money. Look no further than your local disaster in this regard.
Yeah.
And yet the Suns went ahead and put the games on TV because he knows that people need to see the damn games. He did lower concession prices. He's like, what the hell are we doing? So we lowered concession prices and made. So him pointing those kind of things out is thoroughly within reason while also admitting that his competitive strategy completely failed. I'm cool with that. And is he right about Stephen A. as a guy who doesn't even believe what he says anymore? Because that's Skip Bayless. Has Stephen A. descended to the point where he doesn't even believe what he says anymore? Probably.
I don't know if I would go that far. I would say that Stephen A. needs a break. And I felt this way for a long time. I think he's doing too much, but that's what happens. Like, when you have to consolidate talent, and they have consolidated their talent to be Stephen A. and Pat McAfee and Greeny.
Yeah.
Three worthy guys of that. But you're asking them to do more because you're paying them an ungodly amount of money.
Of course.
And so...
So there's a limit to how many strong takes and vantage points you can have. And then you get lost there. And we have seen this happen for a long, long time.
Yep.
The contrarian by convenience, it is a dangerous route that happens to a lot of people.
Yeah, it happens, and it's rough when you have to have that many takes inside of your head all day. But that's why you get $100 million.
Yeah, it is. Let's hear Stephen A's apology, if it actually was an apology.
Matt Ishbia is absolutely right. I do owe him an apology because I mentioned Donald Sterling. I thought I was making it clear I was talking about basketball. I certainly did not mean to compare him to a person that was thrown out of this league and has been widely recognized as a racist. I should not have mentioned Matt Ishbia's name in the same breath as Donald Sterling in that regard. I did not mean to do that. I was not talking about that Donald Sterling. I was talking about the Donald Sterling that would be sitting courtside, heckling his own damn players and never winning anything and didn't give a damn. That's the Donald Sterling that I was talking about in terms of how ineffectual he was or ineffective he was as an owner on a basketball court. I certainly did not mean to do that. So Matt Ishbia is absolutely right. And for that, I apologize. I'm a man. If I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong. Unfortunately for you, sir. That's the only thing I'm wrong about. And that's the only apology that you're getting from me.
God. Unfortunately for you, sir.
That's when he looked right into the camera.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. So look.
I actually thought his apology was pretty good. Yeah, and then at the end, you go.
Triple down.
Then you
somehow
make the heel turn.
Yeah. There you go.
You do the thing.
Who is he, John Cena?
And I'm looking right into the camera.
Look at you.
And I'm going to say it again. You do not want to make an enemy out of me. I'm not having it. I've done nothing wrong.
Oh, God.
We ain't having that.
All right, so Matt Ishbia, and I got to stop putting the emphasis on the second syllable. I got to stop doing that.
Ishbia?
I do that too much. Matt Ishbia. So Matt Ishbia.
I mean, do we know how he says it?
Yeah,
he might say it that way.
No, he does. I think he goes Ishbia.
Okay.
I think he does. But so his brother, Justin, will be the front man when and if, but really just when, they take over as White Sox owners. And maybe 2 years, 3 years, could be 5 years. I don't know. I wonder if Justin, helming the thing, will do some of the fan-friendly things that Matt described there in terms of making the games accessible and visible, in terms of making concessions, you know, manageable. I wonder if those kind of things will be a familial trait or not.
By the time that we get to the place where he's in charge of the White Sox, I actually think that either the environment for having a sports network will be way worse or much better. Because I think that baseball is going to
clean it up.
Yeah, they're going to figure out some of this stuff.
Could very well be like it's all in-house and it just comes with kind of thing.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I think that part, and if it isn't and he does this stuff, then great. If he gets games onto television in a way that people can consume them, that would be great. I would also, I know people read the piece in the Sun Times about WGN. I would just caution you and say that be careful about thinking that that's going to fix all of the problems. There's still some language inside of the contract that WGN would have with Comcast that might make it difficult for them to pick up as many games as you would want. So just be careful with running with the idea. And I don't think Jeff was wrong. I think Jeff and his reporting has been right. There's just an extra element of it, so are you acting as a regional sports network now, WGN Channel 9? Oh, then we should look at what your deal is with us. Because we carry you on Comcast, and if you're just...
I got you. Yeah, that's something we should dig into a little bit more. We'll have time to do it.
Yeah, it's just, I saw it this week, and I thought it was, it's funny because I know that whether it's the new GM of GN or the past one, they've wanted to get back in sports. And that's why you see them get the deal with the CW. That's why they picked up LIV Golf. So it makes sense for them. But I think part of the reason that they were on, like the White Sox, the CHSN ended up on a digital channel instead of a main over-the-air signal is because if you're channel 62 or you're channel 26 and you put them on your over the air, but you're still distributed by Comcast, Comcast gets to go, hold on a minute.
I get you.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, your reporting on that and your sourced stuff on that has been valuable. So let's make a point to get back into it. Because on the face of it, it does seem like, oh, well, that's great. An over-the-air station making a possible deal as an intermediary to help people see these games.
I kind of wish if we'd gone back in the day, I wish Marquee would have done this with Channel 9. I wish that they would have done what WPIX was doing with the Yankees and Yes Network, where the Sunday games were on PIX. I wish that Marquee would have done that as a way to push people to Marquee, but they didn't, and it's whatever.
Gotcha.
And Comcast is a tough negotiator.
Yes, and so there's no resolution super
Sorry,
quick.
I didn't mean to sidetrack us.
No, man, you're good. It's live conversation. It's all good, and it's a thing that we should be getting into. So letting the listeners know that we'll be following it is good. Yeah, I mean, the thing with the ISHB is like, I hope, and I wonder if Justin will think in the same way in terms of the opportunity it is to be an owner. To come up with a competitive strategy for sure, but you get to set the template for the fan experience and you get to define, you know, the possibilities for the relationship between fans and the team. And I'm glad that Matt Ishbia has I'm glad that he spoke up for that part of what he has tried to do while admitting the failures of the other thing. Because a good owner needs to be thinking about all of those things.
I'm also glad that he makes himself available. Like that's been a problem here. Like real talk.
Oh, dude, the year before when Jerry all of a sudden did 45 minutes in his office with his cadre of beat guys and acolytes. That was one of the most momentous days of radio that I've had a chance to do. Us playing those big chunks of it and breaking it down because he never talks anymore. That was the first time for decades that he spoke to a gaggle of reporters.
David Eckstein.
Yeah, that was that day.
I think there's so much value in just having it be your words from your mouth. And not us having to dig through a Bob Nightingale piece or go to Cranes and then extract quotes out of that. Even if it was a guy like Sully, you know, I would be like, okay, that makes sense. Because I know what Sully's going to do in those moments. He's going to be representing the people of Chicago.
Sure.
It would just be nice to just, it's okay. You can just talk. And even if people disagree with you, at least they don't have to cobble together your vision.
Mm-hmm.
They just have it. So I give Ishbia some credit where, man, this has not gone the way that I expected. We're going to try to do better. That buys you an element of grace with people when they understand that you understand that you're fallible.
670 The Score is where you are. We got an interesting Cubs acquisition we need to discuss.
Ooh.
And farts are also funny.
Oh, that too?
Yeah.
It's next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
Afternoons on The Score.
The Cubs need a left-handed reliever they can trust. It's not Luke Little. It's not really Caleb Thielbar, although maybe it still could be. Jordan Wicks, in a relief spot yesterday, gave up the ghost runner in both the 10th and the 11th innings.
The Manfred man?
The Manfred man, blinded by the light. So maybe it's not a surprise that the Cubs made a trade today for Drew Pomerantz. Remember that name?
Yes.
One-time big prospect who has bounced around, played for a lot of different teams. I think he was a Tiger. He was definitely. I remember him in Cleveland as a prospect, and I remember
Boston, right?
Boston for sure. He was in Milwaukee with Council briefly, Padres where he kind of transitioned to being a reliever.
And a Rocky,
yeah, a Rocky is where like he made noise. It's one of those guys who's like, man, he's gonna be great. Well, he's not gonna be great, but maybe he'll be good. Well, now he's a reliever, and now you look up and he's 36.
He was an All-Star.
Was he really?
Yeah, in 2016.
He
started 31 games.
Man, so that's pretty amazing. So Look, he in 2017, 17 and 6 with a 3.32 ERA and 32 appearances, all starts. So was it 17 he was an all-star? I don't know. But anyway, he's now a Cub. They got him from the Mariners for, I believe, a player to be named later. And we'll have to see exactly what it's going to be. So Cubs are getting him. He has been pitching at AAA. He had an upward mobility clause. You can't have fooled me. There ain't no upward mobility clause. And now he's a Cub. So... Well, they'll give him a shot, see if he can be a good lefty reliever. I'm good with the roster churn and the role churn on the bullpen here in April. Figure it out.
You have to do this bullpens. Like that's the whole part of bullpens. Before we get to the farts, we should acknowledge like a pretty big milestone, and it doesn't feel like it's been this long, but we lost Doug Buffone 10 years ago yesterday.
Oh, boy.
Like, wow, right?
Like, that's crazy.
Wow.
That just hit me hard. 10 years, that sounds impossible.
Well, he feels like he's with us all the time, you know?
Left a big imprint on any of us.
A giant hole here.
Had a chance to work with him, and I'm sure tons of people who had a chance to hear him, anybody who had to meet him, man, or had the chance to meet him. Having to meet him implies that it was a chore. It was never a chore to hang out with Doug.
He was just the man. And he's fun.
Let's go out to Black. I don't know where you're from, Black, but you're on the air.
That's right.
Black physicist, I believe it was.
Well, Doug was right.
Somebody put Black in the first
box. Like when you're on remote, yeah, exactly. You got name. Black physicist is too long for the name sure. box, so you have Black is one line, and then physicist in the next line over in the comments. But sometimes if you don't click through all the way, it doesn't pop up.
Yeah, well, he's from the town of Physicist, which is a great little hamlet. Oh, man.
So, yeah, like we miss Doug every day, but especially today.
Absolutely. He would have laughed at farts.
He was huge. He's big into that.
They're always funny. Logan Webb was being interviewed in the Giants clubhouse yesterday, and this happened.
Bumgarner, Vince Gum, and Juan Marichal for at least four outings with, at least four outings with 10 strikeouts and no walk. Just, what does it mean to you to be in that list with those guys?
I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. That's, farts are always funny. I'm not going to lie.
That is tremendous honesty. It's a great moment for Logan Webb to just be like, I can't. You're asking me to compare myself to Madison Bumgarner and being in the category. Somebody just farted. Did you guys hear that?
Bumgarner, and Juan Marichal.
So was this another player or was this the guy asking the question? Because the guy asking the question said he was sorry, right?
No, I don't, yeah, but who knows?
I think it was another player.
Okay.
That was just next to him because he kind of looks off to the side. Yeah.
That would make sense.
Sure, it's got to be a player leaning into the scrum, doing it on purpose.
So to speak.
Farts are always funny. I'm not going to lie. You're right.
You know, what's amazing is that the agent and attorney, Alan Nero, was actually in the clubhouse that day.
They can be replaced by lesser players, but as a group, they cannot be replaced. Not that talent level.
Right. Yeah, there's no question about it.
Farts are always funny.
There's no question about it. Absolutely no question about it.
The Bears' offense is bad.
Farts are always funny.
That's when we were working on remote. Danny was talking. I was merely, with the dynamite dropping, if you ask me, I was getting my thought in about the Bears' offense. I was home. There was nobody in the house. I should have turned the microphone off.
Yeah, you did have a microphone near you, though.
Well, not as near to that part of me.
Hey, Mr. Microphone. Hey, good looking. We'll be back to catch you later.
Mr. Microphone.
That is a something.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Logan Webb, for that universal admission that we can all get behind.
Ah, fun show today. We are glad that you were along with us for the ride. We're going to have more draft stuff as the week goes on, which is great. I think we're only truncated once this week. Oh, no, a couple times because there's a 6 o'clock start of a Cubs game, too. I think so. But that's just only 30 minutes. It's fine. Wani will be around this week. It's going to be a good time. For Tanny, for Shane, for my partner, Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support that you show us. We will try to repay the favor tomorrow at 2 o'clock right here on The Score.
But I got to let you go, Matty. I'm sorry. I got
stuff to do here.
You're good. Thank you, Shane. Thanks for the time, man. I appreciate it.